Thank you for tuning to Glad Tidings. Pastor David Chan will be sharing the word with us. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you in your faith journey.
We are in the house of God, and we just sang, "How great is our God! Truly, God is great." And I've never seen a greater God than last Thursday and Wednesday when we were here worshiping God in the beauty of His holiness. The presence of God, the Shekinah glory of God just came, and the weight of His glory rested upon everyone that was here last Wednesday and Thursday night. And it was an awesome 2 hours of solid worship. Aren't we blessed? Church, this only tells me we are getting nearer and nearer to that breakthrough that we have been praying for. We have been getting nearer and nearer to the intercessors who have been praying all these years that breakthrough will eventually arrive. Not in another church, but in this church. So count yourself blessed to be in this generation, because your eyes will behold what the Bible says. Your eyes have not seen, your ears have not heard, but you will see and you will hear. And you will experience the tangible presence of God breaking through in the ranks of every member here to see the holiness of Jesus. And I will start by putting a framework to this path of breakthrough and spiritual breakthroughs in our lives. And Matthew 28 is the key, because Jesus says, "All authority that He has received and given to Him on earth and in heaven," all that authority, He says, today, that authority is within you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. Whatever you believe and whatever you confess, that is that authority. When you confess the Word of God, He has the power to save souls. So if you are here for the first time this morning, let me say this. This is not a religious congregation. This is not a seminar. This is not a motivational congregation. This is a church, the Church of Jesus Christ. This is a place where we exercise faith and we see that things will happen. Amen. This is a place where lives will begin to be changed and transformed. And Jesus started this ball rolling when He said this, "Go and preach the gospel and make disciples." We need to understand what it means by making disciples. Making disciples is not making converts. They are whole two different things. And we have maybe been sidetracked by some of the practices in the past that it was acceptable to make converts. It is not acceptable to make converts. We have to make disciples. Making converts is easier than making disciples. Making disciples takes a long time. You got to live with their character flaws. You got to live with their attitude issues. You got to live with all their idiosyncrasies. You got to live with all that and still have love, faith, and perseverance to continue to accept them. And that's what discipleship is all about. Jesus had to live with 12 people that He called. And these 12 were His disciples. And these ones are ordinary people, mind you. They are not university graduates. They are not PhDs. They are not people of high standard and high education. They are fishermen. If you care to know how a fisherman behaves, may I suggest you go to Pulau Ketam. I have friends in Pulau Ketam. I have classmates from Pulau Ketam. I learned how to speak Hokkien the way they speak, and they have a lot of flowery words. They are all explicitly deleted today by the Spirit of God. Cannot be uttered anymore. Because if I utter them, you will stumble in your faith. Jesus had these disciples. And they were distinguished from the rest of the other disciples in those days. Because there were many disciples that followed many other great thinkers and philosophers. They had the Greek philosophers like Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle. They had a lot of disciples during those days. These were the Greek disciples. And to distinguish these disciples from Jesus' disciples, they had to call Jesus' followers as Christians. And that was the only reason why they were called Christians. They were not called Christians because they had a earring with a cross. They were not called Christians because they had a necklace with a cross. They were not called Christians because they wear a bracelet with a cross or they had a Christian name. They were called Christians because they were known as followers of the way. What is the way? The way is, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me, Jesus says. And today, we are still following the way. Many of us are following ways. But I say, follow the way. Ways will take you to Holland. Cantonese say, Van Holland. And many times I was taken for a ride, trying to avoid traffic jam, and you go through palm oil estates, little roads, villages, and you just wonder whether your car will get through the narrow lanes. Ways is good, but the way is better. The I am the way is much better. Amen. Hallelujah. Discipleship means you are a learner, a student, a follower who's committed to follow the teachings of your teacher or your master. That is a disciple. The commitment to follow. This is a very serious terminology, a definition that many of us need to understand and count the cost and come in with your eyes open. I shared earlier this morning, it took me 5 years to understand this definition to follow Jesus. And on the fifth year, it was at the cost of losing my left arm that I decided to follow Jesus. And after that, there was no turning back. But when I started to follow Jesus, let me share with you some very pertinent truths. Just like Jesus, he went to look for his disciples. They didn't come to look for him. In fact, they didn't know who he was. They didn't know he existed. They didn't know that the Son of God, their Messiah, would come looking for them while they were doing their trade and their business. They were fishermen, fishing in the Sea of Galilee. And then one day, Jesus came to look for them. Just like all of you seated here, one day, Jesus came to look for you. Amen. How many of you can say, I came looking for God? No, sir. God saw you in your hour of need. God saw you in your desperation. God saw you in your hopelessness. And he sent someone to come and look for you. He sent a preacher. He sent a friend. He sent a relative to come and look for you to tell you the good news that there is a way out. And I say this very clearly today. Where God is concerned, if you have no way out, God will make a way out for you. Amen. You miss a place to say, praise the Lord. Come on, clap. Why are you all so stiff? I'm not a preacher from US. I'm from here, homegrown. GT, 16 years, you know. Every Sunday, quietly sitting down in one corner, which somewhere else. Many of you know me. I don't know you, sorry, all of you. But when I meet you in the toilet, you say, hi, Pastor, then I know you. So Jesus came to the Sea of Galilee, standing on the shore, and he called out to Peter, Simon Peter, and his brother Andrew, and say, follow me. Only two words, follow me. And that two words is very powerful because that two words covers everything that you need to know to be a disciple of Jesus. That is very powerful because from here, from the shore, he shouted across to them, follow, that sound and that words reached them. It was not just a simple two words, but it was a compelling, spirit-drawing word. Because the word is alive. And when the word speaks, things come into place. Amen. Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. No questions about that. And when that word reaches their ears, it's something that touches them and compels them to come. And when they reached the shore, they gave up their nets, they gave up their boats, they gave up their business, and they followed Jesus immediately. That's how powerful that word, follow me. And I know and experience that word, because that word, follow me, that word that Jesus called, has kept me following him for 38 years now, going to 39 years. Never looking back. That's how powerful that word is. And I pray that you will hear that word today, that it will call you to follow him, and that it will start you on your journey to follow, not ways, but follow the way. And I can tell you, you will never get lost. You will never get lost. Even if you go out of the way, you will always find that Jesus will stand in your way with the cross. And when you see the cross, you are automatically compelled to make a U-turn and you will go back to the way again. I'm speaking for those whose hearts have grown cold, who have lost their connection with God, and who have think that there's nothing much that God can do for them, and you are just falling out of the way. Let me say this. When Jesus calls you, he calls you. He will not leave you alone. Amen. If he has started a good work in you, he will see to its completion. God is perfect. Amen. And the things that he does is perfect. And when he says it, he means it, and his word will not return void. When he says, follow me, he will mean to follow him all the days of your life, through thick and thin.
We hope that you are enjoying the message so far. If you would like to know more about our church and get connected, head to our website at gladtidings.my. Thank you for listening. Now let's get back to the Word.
Wow. You look like you don't quite believe what I'm saying. You're giving me that strange look again. Now I'm getting worried. But I say this message is exclusively for Gideons. Praise God for those who are online. You will be blessed anyway. But it is exclusively meant for Gideons. Because Gideons needs to hear this word. This church with a DNA as a missional church that you heard last week. That we go to 12 countries. We are sending teams out by the numbers this year. This church is also an intergenerational church. Amen. At this point, I would like to see all those retirees, those born before 1963. If you are not shy, may I compel you to just stand up and be recognized? It's not a trick question. Stand up. Keep standing. Keep standing. You know why I want you to keep standing? I have told Mac team to pan the camera on each one of you. You will be famous after today's message. Not because of what you have done, but because what Jesus has done for you. Amen. How he has sustained you up to this point. And I want all those who were born after 1963, turn your heads to all these standing here. Don't sit down. Turn your heads. Look at them. Remember them. Not just today in this sanctuary, but remember them after this service. Go to them and ask them, hey, brother, sister, how many bridges you crossed already? How many bridge over troubled waters you have crossed already? Church, You understand what I mean? And I can tell you, all those who are born after 1963, these have crossed many bridges. Some broken bridges, some shaky bridges, some bridges on ropes. They have survived many bridges, and they can tell you what is on the other side. Hello? Don't leave them alone. Don't leave them alone, because they have much more to contribute. Thank you, you may be seated. And I see among this, that are standing, that was just standing, many of them are silver-haired. Ah, that means they have been very honest and truthful to themselves. They have not colored their hair. They didn't want to look young. You know why? They believe in the word of God. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 20, 31 says what? No. The silver-haired head is the crown of glory. Wow. Amen. I want to keep this silver hair. I don't want to color it. That's the crown of glory. Even if my hair is falling, I want to make sure I maintain as many hair on it. I know some are already falling, but on the sides it's still silver. Keep it. This is the call Jesus made to many. And Peter and Andrew was called by Jesus. And they left everything. Wow. Hokkien say a very chialat. English, very serious. Leave everything. Business also leave. Nets also leave. Boats also leave. Family also leave, you know. Because Jesus, after that, went on to call James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were also fishermen, but they were at the shore mending their nets together with their father. And Jesus said, follow me. And the two of them left their nets, left their boats, left their business. And guess what? They left their father also. And they followed Jesus. Now, this is very serious. Because it doesn't bode well for family day next month. Leaving father, mother, leaving everything. But there is a reason why Jesus did this. Because Jesus had 3.5 years to work on these 12. Only a very short span of time to turn things around. And they were the forerunners of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were the forerunners that will carry the good news throughout the whole nations of the old world. Years, 2,000 years ago, in Asia Minor and Europe, they were the forerunners. And because of that, the 3.5 years Jesus had to work on them, time was short. So it had to be a very intense discipling. For us, we got time. Amen? We got time. You got how many years? Just count. If you are born before 63, you still got time. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, no problem. If you're born after 1963, you got 15 years, you got 20 years to walk that walk, to follow Jesus. So, you may not have to leave your family. You may not have to leave your nets. You may not have to leave your boats. You may not have to leave your business. But the whole idea is, we are going to say, Jesus says, make disciples. That is the framework for this church. That is the shift that we are talking about. It's not about quantity. It's about quality. Church, quality looks good. Quality sounds nice. Quality sounds great because quality helps the bottom line figure. But let me say this. If you don't get the bottom line figure from the quantity, it's all right. God will provide. But if you work on the quality, God will provide. Supernaturally. You believe that? I see only a few heads, sir. When I'm true today, you will believe me. It still works today. So these guys, they followed Jesus. They followed Jesus right through his ministry. It was something new to them. It was a new horizon. It was a new thing that they saw. Because they saw Jesus teaching a gospel that was very alien to them. All they knew was how the Pharisees taught them the law of Moses. But when Jesus came into the picture, he changed that. He brought in the new covenant teaching. And to them, this was alien. It was very interesting. It was very mind-boggling, but it was life-changing. And above all, they saw the miracles that Jesus did, the healings, the deliverances, epileptics, paralytics, everyone, blind, see. Oh, by the way, Mark, are you here? Stand up. And is Jen in the house? Stand. Now, I'm going to digress a bit. In Mark chapter 9, you are Mark, right? So, it should not be a problem for you to go to Mark and read chapter 9. There is a boy from young who was possessed. And there was a spirit inside him. Every time the spirit will manifest and he will foam in the mouth, he will roll on the floor, he will scream, and there was nothing much they could do. And none of the disciples at that time was able to deliver this boy. The father brought this boy to see Jesus. And Jesus was surprised because why? It was just a simple question of lack of faith. Lack of faith. And Jesus told the father these very important words. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. If both of you can believe, all things are possible to you who believe. If you can believe that Jesus can heal you of your sight, if you can believe Jesus can heal you of your sight impairment, it is possible. If you believe. Amen. That is the word. Take it home. It is just a matter of faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jen. You may be seated. Chew on this promise. Dwell on this promise. Work on this promise. Let this promise raise your faith level to the level where if you can believe, all things are possible. Even the eyes, the cornea, whatever that's bringing that problem to your eyesight, it can be healed in the snap of a finger. And I'm not saying it today. I'm saying it today because I know and I've seen the blind being healed with my own eyes. I've experienced this. I've experienced people who are lame, who came in. There was a pastor in February, I was in Sabah, a pastor who came in with crutches. Legs were so weak, couldn't walk. He sat right at the back. And at the altar call, he couldn't even walk up. And I was compelled to call him. And before I called him, I shared, silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. You believe that? I believe that because I read it and it happened. So now I'm putting into practice what I read. Because the Bible is yea and amen. It is true 2,000 years ago. It will still be true today. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He walked with the crutches right up to the center. He was struggling. But as he sat down, put the crutches to one side, and I prayed for him and said, God, whatever your word says, I take it literally. Take the word of God literally. People like Smith Wigglesworth take the word literally. Silver and gold have I none. It is true, ma. No gold. No silver also. What's important is, Pastor Michael, we have to deliver the goods. Amen. We must deliver the goods. And that goods is based on faith. When you have faith to exercise, the goods will be delivered. And I said, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. And even before I said that, his legs started to kick already. While sitting down, he was kicking his legs. Left, right, center, everywhere he's kicking his legs. Then when I asked him to stand up, he just stood up and he started walking. Amen. And the crutches was on the wall, resting there. It will be there for permanent already. And this pastor was so downtrodden. He was so disappointed because after more than 20, 30 years of serving God in the fields, in the mission fields as a soldier of Christ, forerunner, front runner of the gospel, he was stricken with this problem to the extent where he couldn't walk. And that day, it was not silver, it was not gold. It was the name of Jesus Christ that raised him up. Amen. The word that was declared. So I want you to declare that word. Amen. Gideons, you all are people of the word. Amen. Don't go around looking for fast food. There's no fast food here. There's only manna from heaven. Amen. And only manna from heaven works. Amen. Fast food will not work. You eat today, you'll be hungry tomorrow. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. He who believes in me will not thirst. You believe in this bread of life. That's the manna we are talking about. It's all about Jesus. Hallelujah. So these three, these four, and these 12 disciples followed Jesus all through the countryside in Galilee, in Decapolis, in Jerusalem, and they witnessed a lot of miracles, and they were following Jesus for a long time. And then comes the crunch one day that they had to go back to Peter's house, Simon Peter's house, because the mother-in-law was sick. He was a good son-in-law. He didn't leave the mother-in-law to just lie down in bed and die in her disease. He called Jesus to come to his house, and Jesus prayed for the mother-in-law, and she was healed instantly of a fever, and she started to serve them food. While they were serving food, something happened. I don't know what happened. But as I read on the Bible from Luke chapter 4, verse 38, I read onwards to the end of Luke chapter 4, verse 38, coming to Luke chapter 5, verse 1, I find that Peter and Andrew went back to fishing again. They went back to fishing. And I just wonder why they went back to fishing. Have you ever wondered? Now they were following Jesus, they saw all the miracles. All of a sudden, why the turn around? They went there to fishing, and that morning, by the shore, they were mending their nets because they went out to fish in the night. Being fishermen in that area, being businessmen, being long in that business, they knew when's the right time to fish, where is the right time to fish, where is the right place to put in the nets, and it was in the night. But all night they caught nothing. Zero. Next morning they came back, they were mending and cleaning their nets, and Jesus comes. Jesus comes to the shore intentionally. Amen. The Sea of Galilee is huge. It's huge. He could have come any part of that sea, the shore, but he came exactly to where Peter's boat was to make contact again. Because I said, if Jesus says, follow me, you better bet you follow him. He will make sure things will be all right. Amen. And going back, why Peter did that? Possibly in the house when he was back in his home, while they were eating, the wife may have called him, Peter, come to the kitchen. Open all the cupboards. Everything was empty. No more rice, no more flour, no more canned food, no more fish, nothing. Because they were away for a long time, not doing their business. So food must have run low. So the wife, being realistic, told Peter, at this rate you're following Jesus, we all die of hunger. That's the reality of it. Amen. I know what I'm talking. Because when I answered the call, this was also the question that was thrown to me. At this rate we are going, we all die of hunger. But praise be to God, after 38 years, we have never once had hunger in our home. Hello? Never once. No money, yes. Hunger, no. The beautiful part is no money, never mind. You have people calling, Pastor, you free for dinner? I said, of course I'm free. What else can I do? I'm waiting for food, lah. Next time, don't ask like that. You're free for dinner. Come, Pastor, come, just go out and eat, lah. If God puts that into your heart to say, let's go and eat, obviously there's something that God is up to. Amen. He knows there's 2 or 3 hungry people in that house. So don't ask. Just do it. Just do it. So, this would have maybe caused him to turn back into his old fishing business. But if you follow Jesus, as I said, you are a student, you are a learner, and you are committed to following him no matter what. And if Jesus is your disciple maker, he will make sure that if you follow him, he will provide for you. Amen. Didn't say he will provide for you? Do you want me to show you where in the Bible it says he will provide for you? I just said it. In John chapter 6, he is the bread of life. Everyone who comes to Jesus will not hunger. Everyone who believes in him will not thirst. So Jesus comes to the shore and he spots Simon Peter and his brother cleaning their nets. Very pathetic. But Jesus had an answer already. He had a solution. That's the beautiful part of the God that we serve. Because why? He is the living God. He is the yesterday God. He is the today God. And he is the tomorrow God. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Amen. He continues to provide. And he provides for Peter. He says, get into the boat. Row out into the deep. In the midday, where everybody knows, especially Peter, a seasoned fisherman, and his brother, that there will be no fish right in the middle. But when Jesus says, throw your net to the side, guess what? All the fishes heard that word, you know. Not Peter only, but the fishes also heard. And when they heard that signal, that is the voice of the Creator. That is the voice of the one that created the fishes. That is the voice of the Creator that created the sea. That is the voice of the Creator that created the heavens and the earth. When they hear a command from Jesus, they start to take action. Amen. They, you don't catch the fish come and be caught. They get into the net. Now, which is better? I pose this question. To do it on your own strength and suffer and toil and sweat, or to trust God and have those things come into your net? Which is better? Of course. Shake leg one, oh. I say, Pastor, this one Peter and Andrew 2,000 years ago, ma. That one only Bible story, ma. Okay, Bible story, okay. 3 years ago, lockdown. None of us got any job to do. No office to go. No work. A lot of us got laid off. You think you all only, pastors also got laid off. Nowhere to preach. Nothing to do. Sit in the house. Wondering what's going to happen next. And the thing that was playing on my mind at that time was there was the house mortgage to pay. That's real. Bank have no mercy one, no. Sorry if there are any bankers here. I'd be very honest. Bank got no mercy one. Tornado come also, they'll still say, your house wiped out by the storms, also they'll still come and charge you. Car gone, swept away, also they'll still send you. They say what? Computer generated, ba. Computer got no emotion. Computer cannot empathize. But God can empathize. And I prayed this prayer. I said, what's going to happen? Mortgage cannot pay. Bank will send first reminder. Second reminder. And then you know, the last one is always red one in color. When you see red, it's not the blood of Jesus. You see red, it's a problem. Amen. I think I better don't walk so fast. But anyway, I was given the green light to walk from this end to the other end. And it's good. Because last year when I came, I didn't know to walk too hard because I might disappear in the floor. But praise God, this year the stage is solid. and I want to fully utilize what God has given us from right to left. The reason why I'm doing this partly is because so that I don't fall asleep on my own message. And the second reason why I'm doing this so that your eyes will follow me so that you don't fall asleep. Where was I? The mortgage. Yeah, the mortgage. You won't believe it. But anyway, it happened. Whether you believe or not. I get a call, random call from a brother. And say, Pastor, how are things? Is everything okay? I always say, if God touches your heart to call, that means God has a message, you know, to send. So in future, please, then you don't come and say, I don't know how to hear from God. You're actually hearing from God. You have already learned how to hear from God. He says that you don't recognize it only. So this brother called. He said, is everything okay? Pastor always like that one. Say, everything okay lah. Even not okay, so must say okay one. But they don't read between the lines, you see. The everything is okay is slightly different. The okay is slightly softer. They cannot distinguish the pitch and the tone. No, not everything is not okay. Because the mortgage has to be paid. Amen. So, we started talking and then, again, he asked, is everything really okay? Or when he asked like that, then I say, oh, well, God is enforcing this already. Maybe I should be more bold to say, yes, everything is not okay. And I say that. So I told him why it's not okay. He said, no problem, Pastor. You go to the bank, ask them how much is the full settlement. Wow. I was thinking, hey, this is real or not? I don't dig my ears. This is mortgage, you know. This is not love offering. Mortgage. It runs not in three figures. It runs in five figures, okay? I say, you sure? I say, yeah. Go and check out how much is the full settlement. So, okay, since you say it. Next day, I went to the bank. You won't believe. When you have such an assurance from God that God is speaking, you walk to the bank. You walk also a different one. You know or not? You walk as if you own the bank, you know. And they owe you a living, you know. Because they're eating on your interest. And walk in there and go to the counter. Can you give me my full settlement? Wow. That's the best phrase I ever said in many years, you know. Because every month I'm paying and paying and paying through my nose. But this is the one time God is saying He's going to put a stop to it. Are you listening? I hope you are encouraged, all those of you who are financially strapped, okay? This is a real story. And I took out the printout and I look at the figure, my eyes also pop out. Because it will take me a month to month, another 3 to 5 years to pay up in full. So the full settlement was not a small amount, it was a huge amount. And I say, is this real? I asked myself, is this real? Can this be God? Only way to find out is give the figure. I passed the figure on with the bank account and everything. The next thing I get the message the next day, Pastor, you can go to the bank now and check with them whether they have received this amount. Whoa! It bypassed me, you know, didn't come through me. Went straight to the bank, you know. So again, I went to the bank. What? This time, even more stylo. And tapped the table a bit louder. And asked them, hey, have you received this amount or not? First time, the bank called me. Yes, Mr. Chan. Mr. Chan. Nice to hear. Music to my ears. So how? I said, we will take a few days to process this final figure. And then they will pass it to their lawyers to release the charge. I say, whatever you do quickly. I have been waiting for many years, you know, for a day like this. And true enough, I received the title deed, free of encumbrance. Free of encumbrance. Amen. You have problems with finance? Now, I don't want to go further and say this because there are people in the finance industry. They are lending money. One, if I keep on like that, you all go and borrow money. They also have problems. Cari makan. But I'm saying, if you are strapped and you have nowhere to turn to, first call is Jesus. Amen. If Jesus doesn't work, then you come and see GT. But I guarantee you, if you call Jesus, you don't need to come and see GT. You're thinking I'm joking, huh? Hey, I'm serious, you know. This is only by one of those miracles that happens. And it is real. I got documents to prove it. It's already 12:20. I don't know where I went with this message. I promise to stick to the sermon outline. This morning, I stuck to the sermon outline 60%. I veered 40% somewhere else. It's getting from quite serious now. Now the sermon outline is only 20%. The 80% went somewhere else to the mortgage. I always say this. This is what I believe. I prayed this morning, God, preach the now word. And I know what I've shared resonates with some of you here, if not all of you here. And that is what is needed. Amen. It's not so much my message. It's what God's message to you, the now word, the rhema word, the word that God says will bring life, the word that God says when the word goes out, it shall not return void. This is the now word. You'll be reading the now word every morning diligently in your devotion. This is the now word, the rhema word. Amen. That will change and transform your belief and raise your faith level to see the miraculous. This is the now word that we need to give leeway to the Holy Spirit to be able to assess and know the desires and the challenges of your heart. Amen. So that over the last 16 years, since I stepped into Glad Tidings, I've learned over the period of time that it's not so useful to do a 45-minute full message, because every time you do a full 45 minutes, you never get to preach the whole message. So over the years, I've reduced it. Now I prepare sermon 50% only. Makes life easy, right? And the other 50%, as the Spirit leads, Lord. It is much better this way. Amen. This church has got retirees. This church have got people who can disciple like Jesus. This church has got people with experience to disciple, like how Jesus discipled his 12 disciples. And this morning, I want to say to all of you here that this group that just stood up just now, your call has not ended. Your call has just started, if you have not realized it. If you are silver-haired, man, you are greatly in need. And Uncle Sam said, you are needed. You are needed. Amen. You are greatly sought after. Jesus is headhunting each one of you. Amen. You like to be headhunted, right? The terms of this headhunt is that it is out of this world. All your treasures will be accumulated up there in heaven. But your good works will be recognized. And as you trust Jesus, I want you to know that there are many young people here. Those born after 1963. They need to see you. They need to seek you because you have crossed many bridges that they have not crossed or they are currently crossing and they are having problems crossing those bridges. Because those bridges are called bridge over troubled waters. Waters underneath are very troubling. So they need people like you to guide them through. And I want to end by saying this. I've got an illustration. It's a can of sardine. I couldn't find a sardine can with an expiry date. Mac team somehow made some magic and came up with an expiry date, 2004. This is a sardine can that has expired. I want to say this. All of you are not expired products. You are not being put into the shelf and forgotten. Your contributions have not been forgotten. Your contributions are still relevant. Amen. They are needed. So if you are thinking that you have done your part, you have served your purpose in GT, you have been a Connect leader for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and now as you make way for a new generation of leaders, then you can say, in Cantonese they say, Hong Fei Hong Sao Tong. In Cantonese they say, wrap it up for the day. Wrap it up for the day. And quietly ride off into the sunset. Hey, this is not Lone Ranger and Tonto. Not Hayo Silver and Ride Away. God is not done with you yet. Amen. You are not an expiry date. You are a current date. Amen. You are not canned as sardines. Okay? You are free and liberated, and you have the ability and the power and the anointing to be able to touch lives. So don't make a retreat. And for the young, those who are 63, born in 63, 1963 and above, I want to say this, two words, get real. What? Get real. What is get real? Now for us, get real is ChatGPT. Get real is AI. Everything is virtual, real. Gen Z will say, you want to get real, go out and touch some grass. That is real. The grass is real. What you're holding in your hands is all virtual. And some of us fall prey to deception. ChatGPT cannot solve life's problems. Only Jesus' disciples can solve life's problems. Amen. Jesus' disciples that directs you to the Word of God and directs you to the cross can solve problems. So those who are born after 1963, see all these people and get real. Don't just depend on your ChatGPT. It won't help you. This is the only book that will help you. And sadly, 95% don't carry this book to church these days. They're still holding on to their handphones that has got thousands of notifications and WhatsApp and everything all locked in together with their Bible. But halfway through reading the Bible, the handphone flashes like a Christmas tree. And we get out of context. We get distracted. So this is still relevant. Amen. Hard copy, hard print, black and white. When you read this, there's nothing to distract you. Everything is about the Word of God. So this morning, I want to challenge all of you, young and old, come back to Jesus. Follow Him. That is the call. Let's stand. We're going to sing this song. Just a closer walk with you. Just a closer walk with Jesus. This, please excuse me, this is an old school gospel hymn. Okay? Old school gospel hymn. I've not heard this been sung in GT. The only time I heard it once was at a wake service. Funeral for the dead. It is not a funeral for the dead. It's for the living. Amen. Today is for the living. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me shall live, even if he dies. Amen. And anyone who believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Hallelujah. This is a good time This is a good moment when you sing this song. It's a plea from your heart, a confession from your heart as you sing it, that you want to ask Jesus for a closer walk with Him. And if you have that conviction, I would like to invite you to come very quietly and walk right up to the front here to seal your commitment and to endorse the call of Jesus on your life. Can you do that? There's no pride in this. It's just an acknowledgement. You are weak, He is strong. That's it. And if you are here for the first time, I stood here in April last year and said, time is running out. And I still say, time is running out. It is very close now. We are now in the boarding area of the plane. Boarding already. That's how close we are to the times. And there's not much time to make the decision. And let me say this. None of the great thinkers in the Greek civilization, none of the great thinkers in all the other civilizations can give you eternal life. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. So don't wait till the time where there will be a wake service and a eulogy. Today is the day to make that decision. That will be the wisest decision you ever make. If you're here for the first time and you want to receive Jesus into your heart, I invite you to come out also to my right. I want to pray for you and pray with you. If you're not shy, if you feel you are new here and you are a bit intimidated by this whole thing, it's all right. See any of the pastors here after the service and quietly say, I want to receive this Jesus. Amen. It's never too late. Today is still many hours to go. Make the decision. Let's sing that song. And those of you who want to rededicate your lives and to follow that call again, to renew that call, step quietly to the front.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you have been encouraged, make sure to follow us on Spotify. To get connected or find out more about the life of our church, visit us on our website at gladtidings.my or follow us on social media. Have a blessed week.